This is Radio Superior 1946, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1946. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the land of beautiful and frozen lakes, station KUWS. It's 6 o'clock, Monday, March 4th, 1946. Jack McKenna saying, hi.
What? No pithy opening remarks?
I'm afraid the wells run dry today. Lou Martin is in with the 6 o'clock news. Harriet Farrig has the answer to the question, what happened to Rosie the Riveter? And remember that farmer from Grantsburg who was looking for a wife and mother for his kid?
That's the guy who wrote his congressman for a wife.
I've got him lined up for an interview just for you, Lou.
Oh, joy.
And we've got the best doggone music from the 1946 hit parade. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Leaf's Hamburgers at Broadway and Weeks, where you can get Leaf's famous jumbo cheeseburger for just 25 cents. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. A national telephone strike looms. German girls are said to be living with U.S. officers in Germany. And a small town in Missouri is bracing itself for a visit from Winston Churchill and Harry Truman. We begin our World Shortwave report from Washington.
This is the nation's capital, Lyle C. Wilson, United Press. The latest effort to settle two of the country's labor controversies failed today. Now the CIO and United Auto Workers are preparing to intensify their 104-day-old strike against General Motors. UAW CIO leaders expressed disdain for a GM proposal that the union let its 175,000 idle members decide by secret ballot whether the strike should be prolonged. Rejecting the union plan for arbitration, GM proposed a poll of the rank and file on the corporation's offer of an 18.5-cent hourly wage increase. Union leaders are battling for their 19.5-cent boost recommended by presidential fact-finders. The prospect of averting a telephone tie-up seemed dim after breakups early today of negotiating sessions between the American Telephone and Telegraph Company and representatives of employees who handle the nation's long-distance calls. Long-line telephone workers President John J. Moran says his members will go on strike as scheduled at 6 a.m. Thursday, along with 16 other groups affiliated with the Independent National Federation of Telephone Workers. There are now 800,000 workers idled by strikes. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson calling Germany. Come in, Frankfurt.
Germany here. Lewis Lochner reporting from Frankfurt. A U.S. Army chaplain says that prevalence of immorality in Europe has been brought out into the open here. A letter published in Stars and Stripes magazine from a British woman asserts that German girls are living with American officers at the U.S. Forces headquarters compound here. The letter says, quoting, why should German girls be allowed to live in the compound with American officers? I know of several instances, and if necessary, would lead officers to men I consider to be rotten to the core. Maybe they had not lost anything in this war or suffered hardship, so they forget that the krauts they are with are part of the evil which has caused so much suffering in this world, unquote. European theater chaplain L. Curtis Tiernan of Kansas City says the letter revealed the looseness and immorality and general breakdown of army discipline in Europe. Another chaplain says, he is quoting now, glad the scandal has at last come out into the open, unquote. Officers and civilians living in the compound, a barbed wire enclosed area of several square miles, which was formerly a part of the IG Farben industry, are permitted to take girls into the compound any time except between 10:30 p.m. and 8:30 a.m. In Frankfurt, Germany, this is Lewis Lochner. Calling Canada. Come in, Ottawa. This is Canada calling. Jacques Mornay in Ottawa. Prime Minister W.L. Mackenzie King disclosed today that members of the Soviet embassy at Ottawa, acting under direct instruction from Moscow, are the ringleaders of an espionage conspiracy which sought information on atomic energy, radar, and Canadian and United States troop movements to the Pacific. Prime Minister King disclosed the findings of a report by a royal commission investigating the espionage ring. Three Canadian government employees and one girl employee of the British High Commissioner's office at Ottawa are under arrest in connection with the investigation. The report identified Colonel Gregory Zabotin, recently recalled military attaché of the Soviet embassy at Ottawa, as directly in charge of a network of undercover agents. The information sought by the espionage ring include plans of the secret Chalk River Atomic Energy Plant. The four people being held incommunicado at the Royal Canadian Mounted Police Barracks in Rockcliffe are named in the report. In Ottawa, this is Jacques Mornay calling the States. Come in, Fulton, Missouri.
Fulton, Missouri here. Harmon W. Nichols, United Press. This village of 8,297 braced itself today for the visit of Winston Churchill and President Harry S. Truman, the biggest day the place has seen since Jefferson Davis slept here. Churchill will deliver the annual John Findlay Green Foundation Lecture at Westminster College tomorrow. Mr. Truman will introduce him. After a train ride from Washington, the party arrived by motorcade from Jefferson City at noon today. It was in 1865 that Confederacy President Jeff Davis visited the Kingdom of Callaway, so called because it stuck by the South instead of the Yankees in the war between the states. Fulton had its traffic problems then, too, but man got where he was going by wagon and mule in those days. Today, the Chamber of Commerce is trying desperately to accommodate up to 70,000 persons. Many won't be happy. The college gymnasium, proudly wearing the flags of the 48 states and the many United Nations, where Churchill will deliver a speech on world peace, seats 2,600. President Frank L. McClure of Westminster College received more than 30,000 requests for tickets. One New Yorker nonchalantly wired for 10. He didn't get any. Amplifiers are all over the place, in four churches, on top of Callaway County Courthouse and other buildings. Fulton is reachable only by bus and car. It's providing parking space in backyards and vacant lots for 9,000 cars. That won't be nearly enough. Where the spillover will end up, nobody knows. Fulton's two small outmoded hotels can care for little more than the press here in uncounted numbers. Neither hostelry has a telephone switchboard, and the Palace Hotel, biggest of the two, still uses a hand-cranked cash register and has bathtubs standing on four legs. The town is dolled up for the occasion, with flags spouting from every storefront, bunting afloat all over, and private homes dressed up fit for a president and British dignitary. Any visitor with a spare quarter can buy a large white button trimmed in red which says, Westminster College, Harry Truman, Winston Churchill, Fulton, Missouri, 1946. In Fulton, this is Harmon W. Nichols reporting.
Great Britain is asking the Russians to explain their refusal to withdraw troops from Iran. Britain says keeping uninvited troops violates the British-Soviet-Iranian treaty. Iranian Ambassador Hussein Allah called on the U.S. to join Britain in asking why Russia is keeping troops in Iran. Former President Herbert Hoover accepted an invitation by President Truman to go to Europe to survey food needs of that continent. Agriculture Secretary Clinton Anderson announced Mr. Hoover's decision today. Mr. Hoover carried out relief programs in Europe after World War I. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:09. Now, Jack McKenna has this word from our sponsor.
Well, if you like hamburgers, Lou and folks, you'll want to stop by Leafs on Broadway and Weeks. Hey, that rhymes. Free deal. 1 with 6, 2 with 12. Holy smokes, that's a lot of hamburgers. For that large, delicious, tasty hamburger, only 20 cents. All the trimmings. Just ask your friends about the quality and taste of our famous large jumbo burger, a meal in itself. Generous order of delicious French fries, only 15 cents. Boy, oh boy, I'm getting hungry just giving this commercial. Delivery service of a dozen or more, only a small charge. They're open until 2 a.m. Just phone 4178. That's Leafs. Great hamburgers, Lou.
Former New York Mayor Fiorello LaGuardia told a Senate committee today that this country needs the St. Lawrence Seaway. KUWS Radio newsman Mike Simonson has more.
Mayor LaGuardia spoke passionately against what he calls the power crowd of private utilities that are opposing building the seaway through Canada to the Great Lakes. LaGuardia says railroads and electric companies don't want the competition of hydroelectric plants and ocean shipping that would be created. LaGuardia accused the utilities of a lack of vision by a group that has opposed everything, every time, and everywhere if it threatens their monopoly. Ohio Governor Frank Lausch also spoke in favor of the St. Lawrence Seaway. He says the slight loss felt by these groups would be outweighed by the tremendous benefit in more power and better transportation. If the seaway is built, it would open up Duluth and Superior and other Great Lakes ports to international ships through a series of canals up the St. Lawrence River. It is considered a great benefit for farmers growing wheat and other Midwestern commodities, Lou.
Thanks, Mike. Catholic clergymen and laypeople from Milwaukee and La Crosse will leave Madison next Sunday afternoon on a special Northwestern Railroad train to Superior. They'll leave here the next day with the Most Reverend Bishop William O'Connor. Bishop O'Connor leaves the Superior Diocese after 4 years here. He was named by Pope Pius XII last month to lead the newly created Madison Diocese. Lutheran congregations in Superior and Ashland will join the National Lutheran Council to collect for relief of Europe. The Lenten service drive will be discussed at a noon meeting tomorrow at the Hotel Superior. Pastor A.W. Arthur of the Pilgrim Lutheran Church will chair the meeting. Holy Trinity Lutheran Pastor George Kohler says that clothing, food, and medical supplies will be shipped to war-stricken countries, especially Finland. But also, for the first time since the president lifted the embargo on private help to Germany, goods will be sent there as well. And finally, Jack and good listeners, the Victory Clothing Drive in Superior collected 15,000 pounds of clothing. Co-chairman John Mayette says the clothing, also headed for Europe, was weighed as it filled a large-size freight car. It was filled to the brim, Jack.
That's probably where my missing socks are.
Meaning someone in Austria will end up with one white and one black sock.
Afraid so, old buddy. That's Lou Martin, the newsman with sweaters enough for everyone.
I like my sweaters. They're comfortable and stylish.
Let's check that forecast for this Monday, March the 4th, 1946. Fair skies and chilly tonight with a low of 18, but sunny and pleasant tomorrow with a high near 48 degrees. It's music time. Here's a brand new number from the 1946 Hit Parade. This is a takeoff from Flight of the Bumblebee. There's Freddie Martin and his orchestra with Jack Fine on the piano and Bumble Boogie on the Martin and McKenna Show. Freddie Martin and his orchestra and Bumble Boogie on station KUWS. Oh, boy, that song kind of makes me dizzy. This is a message from your American Red Cross. It happened somewhere in the Pacific. The boys of the 5th Air Force were occupying a jungle island they had taken from the Japs. The heat, the bugs, the dirt were unbearable. The loneliness was unimaginable for the Yanks. Then, on a sweltering airstrip one morning, a plane landed and out stepped two Red Cross girls. American girls. American girls like sisters and sweethearts they hadn't seen for so many long months, greeting them as they'd been greeted in the old happy days back home. Yes, indeed, tears filled the eyes of more than one of these fighting men. Brave men they are, but their tears flowed. Thousands of our men are still overseas. They're homesick. They need your Red Cross now. But only you can keep them there with your contributions. Help the Red Cross see them through. This is Jack McKenna for the American Red Cross. And let's hear now from Eddie Howard and his orchestra, and To Each His Own on the Martin and McKenna Show.
A rose must remain with the sun and the rain, or its lovely promise won't come true. To each his own, to each his own, and my own is you. What good is a song if the words don't belong, and a dream must be a dream for two? No good if a flame is to grow, there must be a glow. To open each door, there's a key. I need you, I know. I can't let you go. Your touch means too much to me, babe. To live must insist on two more to be kissed, or they'll never know what love can do. To each his own, I found my own, one and only you. The sun and the rain, or its lovely promise won't come true. To each his own, I found my own, one and only
you. That's the music and vocals of Eddie Howard with his orchestra and To Each His Own on station KUWS. Well, he's here. That farmer guy looking for a wife, he's all yours. You can come in now, Mr. Bernstengel.
Okay.
Good evening. You pronounce your name Arthur Bernstengel?
Well, that's the way good old Dad said it. So I figured he should know, eh?
Before we get into your search for a concert, Mr. Bernstein...
Just call me Bernie.
That's short for Arthur.
No, it isn't.
I know what you're going to ask. Why would a well-off, good-looking fellow like myself, with a 610-acre farm near Grantsburg, that's God's country, you know, have trouble finding a wife?
No, that's not what I
was. I asked that same question myself. I'm milking the cows, and I ask it. I'm working the fields. I ask it. I'm just 44 years old with a 5-year-old boy.
You're a real catch.
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? So I say, Bernie, what's with the women of today? I'll tell you, I'm buffaloed.
Women of today? Sheesh.
I intended to...
How much wool does a regular Romeo like me have to pitch? I get all this publicity from around the country. Females knowing I'm looking for a... what'd you call it?
A consort. Spouse. Better half.
This guy's good. Good to have lots of words.
He is, isn't he?
The trouble is, I can't get one of those words in edgewise.
You know, I've gotten 1,575 proposals of matrimony since I wrote Congressman O.K. Okonski asking for a bride. You know what I found out, do you?
What?
All the weaker sex wants today is comfort, cars, and cash. That's all they think about.
Amazing you haven't snagged a wife yet.
One lucky lady. We wrote letters back and forth, and back again. That makes 5 letters, don't it? Well, my friends, let me tell you a story. This promising prospect went and told me she's all for farming life in the summer, but she doesn't think too much of it in the winter. This is Wisconsin, for crying out. This isn't a farm in Miami Beach.
That's where they grow alligators.
When it comes down to brass tacks, I let her have the last word. She would have made a fair-weather wife anyway.
This guy's good, Lou.
I'm not fussy. I just want a gal who's healthy, of an open mind, a loving nature, likes the simple life, and clean living. Now, what was it you were going to ask, Lou?
I forgot.
Let me. Why did you write a congressman to ask for a wife?
That's my question. I was going to ask that.
Well, it was worth a try, even if he is a Republican. Hey, maybe that's why I haven't gotten a wife yet. I should have written Truman.
That would be about enough. Thank you, Mr. Arthur Bernstigel of Grinsburg. Good luck on your matrimonial pursuits.
Hey, who's that coming in? A healthy-looking lass.
That's Harriet. She's up next with the question, what happened to Rosie the Riveter? But here's a new one from the 1946 hit parade. This is Freddie Stack and his orchestra, with vocals by Ella Mae Morse and Don Ray. This is House of Blue Lights on the Martin and McKenna Show.
What do you mean, Harriet's healthy looking?
Well, what you say, baby? You look ready as Mr. Freddy this black. How about you and me going spinning at the track?
What's that, homie? If you think I'm going dancing on a dime, your clock is ticking on the wrong time.
Well, what's your pleasure, treasure? You call the plays, I'll dig the ways.
Hey, daddy-o, I'm not so crude as to drop my mood on a square from way back. I'm in there and have to dig life with father, and I mean father's lack.
Well, baby, your play gives my wig a solid flip. You snap the whip, I'll make the trip.
Well, listen to boots and we'll broom on down. We'll knock stop shack on the edge of town. There's an 8-beat combo that just won't quit. Keep walking till you see a blue light lift. Fall in there and we'll see some sights at the house of blue lights. There's fryers and broilers and Detroit barbecue ribs. But the treat of the treat is when they serve you those fine 8 beats. You want to spend the rest of your price down at the house of blue lights.
Thank you.
Freddie Stack and his orchestra and House of Blue Lights.
Let me introduce community editor Harriet Feurig and her special guest. You look pleasant today, Harriet.
And healthy. Good-looking teeth, too. Check and check.
Yes, thank you, Mr.
He's a last guest who I thought had left. Mr. Arthur Bernstigel.
Call me Art.
I thought it was Bernie.
Bernie's for friends. Art's for healthy women.
With good teeth.
Harriet has some important news for us about that cultural icon of shipyard and song, Rosie the Riveter.
Thank you, Lewis. Very clever. Icon of shipyard and song.
Polite. Check.
Stop saying check.
Rosie the Riveter represented all working women, the gals who heard the call of Uncle Sam and filled in for men on assembly lines or behind the wheel of taxis. Adorned in slacks or overalls, more than 3 million sister workers have disappeared from the nation's payrolls in the 9 months since VE Day last June. Frieda Miller of the Women's Bureau is joining us, and we're so fortunate to have her include Superior in her national tour. It's an honor, Miss Miller.
Miss Miller? Little scrawny.
But healthy.
Back at you, sister. Many, many women remain on the job. From the peak of 19 million working women, there are still more than 15 million ladies on the payroll. The Labor Department shows many of the women who have left their jobs have returned home to her husband, probably an ex-serviceman. Others are using their wartime earnings to take a break. The war work was long and hard.
Does this mean back to the way things used to be before the war?
Well, that's what some men and even some women think. Peacetime for the working woman isn't so wonderful. I call this post-war time a back-to-the-home campaign. Wide-open factory doors are once again barred to women. Traditional male domains are excluding women, even though we proved we can do the job hands down.
Well, so what's a girl to do?
Instead of industry, our best bet is probably the service sector. Professional, sales, clerical, and yes, domestic.
But shouldn't we fight to keep our factory jobs?
Maybe, but right now, we're looking at equal pay for equal work. Only 6 states have equal pay laws, with the last 4 passing those laws during the war. We need to get Congress on board. We do the work, we should get the pay.
Thank you, Frieda Miller of the National Women's Bureau.
What do you think of farm work and raising a 5-year-old boy? Even in the winter.
It's music time.
Here's one of my favorites. This is Charlie Barnett and Cherokee on the Martin and McKenna Matrimony Show. Thank you. Noble wrote it, Charlie Barnett played it, and Cherokee on station KUWS.
So, Harriet, you like country life? I've got 610 acres in Burnett County. Maybe you'd like to visit sometime.
Well, there's nothing like a drive out in the country.
This has gone far enough, Burnsiggle. Harriet is spoken for.
By whom, Lewis?
This is suddenly awkward.
Well, I thought we had an understanding.
It's now or never, Lewis.
Hey, you like the simple, good, clean life, Harriet?
I said Harriet is spoken for. By me.
Oh, Lewis, it's about time.
Public display of affection by a newsman. Wow, somebody call the cops. It just isn't done. How untoward.
I think I'd like to go and get a beer.
I'll buy. Coming, Frida?
You northerners sure are reserved, but hey, why not?
So, Miss Miller, do you like the good, simple,
Forget
clean...
it, Bob. Oh. Hope you find someone, but that person isn't Frida. Let's go, girls.
Coming. Tune in tomorrow morning, ladies, for Second Husband, A Woman's Life, Real Life Stories, and Our Gal Sunday. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, that is, and the bartender serves the women. For Lou Martin and the girls, this is Jack McKenna. Good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1946, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, John Munson, Ray Paulson, Pat Kelly, and Kathy Berggren. All events reported on Radio Superior 1946 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.